AIDS, I'm an addict. I want to tell you how all my praying started. When I was young, because I was never little, I was very involved in my church and in the choir, and I was a good girl. And as I kept growing up, I kept getting bigger and bigger. Anyway, my mother and father were very political in the town where I come from, Atlantic City, New Jersey. And my mother couldn't help it. She was born and raised in Scotland. They're snobs sometimes, and that's just the way it is. And she was. She didn't approve of me. I was big. I was loud. I was in the roller derby, and I hung out with guys on motorcycles. Ladies don't do that. And she constantly reminded me of that. And I'm always aware that when I go to people's houses, I look for cement furniture so I don't break anything. And in Atlantic City at 9:30, they had the siren went off. And if you weren't in the house by the time when the siren went off at 9:30, you were considered a juvenile. And at that time, I was in some competition, roller skating. And I'd have to go up sometimes in the middle of New Jersey and get back, and I would get home late. And she would, the worst thing she ever said, that I was a tramp. And in my religion, it was very, very, and this is in 1950. And you got to understand, it was very important to be a virgin in those years. That's gone forever. I was. It's very important because God loved you then. And she called me a tramp because I was out late. And I was going with a guy who had a hot rod. And ladies don't do any of these things. And when my father was sergeant of the police force, and when my father died, my mother was always scared of me. I don't know why. Well, when I would come home and she called me these names, I would break up my room and holler and scream at her, but I never put my hands on her. And one day, the doctor, the priest, and my mother took me to juvenile court. And I was scared to death. Juveniles had no representation in those years. It's 1952. And I stood before a judge weighing a little bit more than I weigh right now. I was too young to wear makeup. I had this tube of lipstick that I carried in my roller skating case and put it on when I went to the roller skating rink and knew I was grown. I was a virgin. I knew nothing about fighting. What I did when I skated was not fighting, it's a sport. Okay, so I knew nothing of violence. And I knew nothing of homosexuality. You've got to understand how lame I was. And I stood before that judge, and this judge sentenced me to Clinton State Prison for Women. I was 16 years old. It shattered me because I just knew God was going to hold me in his arms. I was a virgin. And this guy stuck up in the corner and he said, "Your Honor, don't you mean stay at home for a girl? This child's only 16 years old." And the judge says, "Look at the size of her." I mean Clinton. And I went away for the worst kind of prejudice there is, my size. Now, if you think I disliked me before I went away, you can imagine the hate that came in me. I'm not going to get into the bloody, gory details of the penitentiary. But when I went in, I was 16. When I come out, I was 24. And I was grown. And I was not the girl that went in. And I left God and prayers and everything else in that courtroom that day. And I learned how to use drugs. A lot of things I learned in the penitentiary, and I learned it well. And I met a guy, and we got married. And we have four lovely children. Now, we have a problem. He was scared of me. I could fight better than him. No, this don't work. No, this don't work, see? I can remember reading it and being in bed. And he would, and I said, "What's wrong with you, King?" And he said, "I'm afraid you'll kill me in my sleep." No way, honey. I want you wide awake. Because, see, my husband would beat on my kids because he couldn't beat on me. And so I know what it's like to be an abused woman because I had to kiss his ass. So that when I went to work, he wouldn't beat on my kids. And prayers were nowhere in sight. Nor was there a God. I'm running this ship. I'm the captain. I'm the crew. I'm it all. And the only good thing I got out of the penitentiary is my hairdressing license, okay? Which helped me support my habit. And I finally got myself away from my husband. And it was not an easy thing either, because it was in 1968 we were married 8 years. And my husband is black and I'm white. And this was in 1968 and nobody wanted to help me. Nobody, either side, would give me any feedback of what to do or how to get out of this mess I'm in. And, but one cop said, I'll tell you what you do, Blaze. I have 4 children, 3 girls and a boy. And my boy's the oldest. You go head out to work and tell Danny, when King goes out of the house, to run to the city hall. I live right around the corner from the city hall. Take the girls and say, I got no mommy and daddy. And they'll put you in a foster home. And that's how I had to do it. And I went out in the world to get what other people had, but I couldn't do that. Because I got nothing inside and I got this gorilla on my back. And I fought in the streets terrible. It was awful. And I hated policemen. And there was a cop that we went to high school together. And he sort of wanted to date me, and I wouldn't do that because he was a cop. And this is the end of the 60s, the beginning of the 70s, and the big go-go girls was in. And I was dancing at Red's Morgan's, and I was dancing at La Brisso. And Mike would come in there, and we would fight like two men. It was terrible. And one night, when his eyes working at La Bristow, Red's Morgan's, I was up on the stage, and one of the girls came and said, Blaze, the cops are here. Now, you got to understand that my drug of choice was speed. I was a speed freak for 20 years, and I never lost a pound. All my friends look like pencils. They say, what's up, Blaze? I don't know. And I had about $400 of good meth upstairs. I mean, that pink crystal. And I ran outside, and I beat my Michael up. And I threw his gun across the street. I threw the dog against the car. And he's under the wheel. I need a backup out here. I got to say that after I was clean and in the program, about a year, he came in. And I said, oh, my God, we're going to kill each other in here. But I ended up being his sponsor, and he's still clean. I got him good. Anyway, I took the kids back because I thought that would change my behavior. It was never the drugs or the alcohol. And so I took the kids back, but the violence became worse. And they came and took my children away from me and said I would never see them again as long as I lived. And I lost a job for the first time in 17 years. I lost a job. And the drugs weren't working anymore. And the alcohol wasn't working anymore. Nothing was working anymore. I would have to wake up to 4 or 5 black beauties to open my eyes and brush my teeth. Do a couple lines of meth just to get to work. Nothing worked anymore. And I was living in a band house in the Inlet. And let me tell you something. You got to understand my tolerance of pain to know where drugs took me. I was crawling around on my hands and knees like a cockroach with hallucinating blood out of the ceiling. And I tracks up my arm and a bottle of vodka in my hands. And I said, God, help me. Not that I believed there was anything connected to the word God, help me, but we do that. And a thought came in my head. They had these meetings up at Clinton, and these alcoholics went to these meetings, And see, where I come from, it's cool to be a junkie and it's a drag to be alcoholic, so we'd beat them up after the meetings. But the one thing that stayed in my head was AA. So I crawled out of the house, up on the boardwalk, and got on the phone, and I says to my girlfriend, AK, I swear on your eyes, you won't tell you what I'm going to tell you. Don't tell nobody. I want to go to AA. And she started to cry. See, I couldn't let my corner friends know I'm going to this lame place. God help me, I'd be ruined. And she came and got me. Her in front of me, her husband behind me, and I went to my first meeting in Atlantic City at Tennessee, the board, the arcade building. And I walked up to the door, and this woman put her hand out to me, and I said, whoa. Because where I come from, you don't get up on nobody unless you're going to fight him or fuck him, and we weren't going to do either one. I said, get off me. She said, would you like a cup of coffee? It's going to be all right. I said, what's her angle? We're so cool. So I went way in the back of the room and sat with the wallpaper because, remember, I'm a speed freak. And I read the signs and it said, but for the grace of God. I said, he's in here too. I'm history. You know, but I noticed something about the people. You know, they were different than me. They had a glare in their eyes, and they had a glow about them. You know, I wanted that. And this person came up to me and said, do you think you could stay away from drink one day at a time? I said, of course. I was full of drugs, and nobody asked, and I didn't volunteer. See, because it was true. It was true. It was the alcohol that made me ugly. The drugs made me cool. All right, honey, you keep coming back. And I did. I was around 2 months, and somebody had to go on a 12-step call to a bar. Of course, I'm running the whole show by now, and they allowed me to. And I went to the bar, and she was drinking, so I joined her. See, because my head was on straight, and I said, them fools up there, that's cool. That they got, they need that. You know, that's nice. But I'm too cool for this. That drink went down inside me, people. You've got to understand that the penitentiary took every ounce of fear away from me there ever was. I feared nothing or no one until that moment. When that booze went down inside of me, I said, oh my God, those people are right. Of course, I finished out the bottle and the night. And I crawled through the doors the next day. And I said, help me, I'll do it your way. And that was on September the 18th of 1973. And I have not had drink or drugs since. I didn't put my hands on nobody either. Now you clap. See, because I made a deal with God. I said, you give me this thing and I'll do it your way. He gave me this thing and I'm trying to do it his way. And I wanted to go back to my praying. And I tried to. You know, and I couldn't. And nothing worked. And then one night at this AA meeting, God, who loves me very, very much, sent me a recovering addict. And he came up to me and he said, hey, Blaze, you ever hear Narcotics Anonymous? And I said, no. He said, come on. And we went to Philly, at Tenton Boulevard, at a church upstairs on the second floor. And I walked in a room full of kids. You see where I was at these AA meetings. They told me, go away and don't come back. You're different. Get out. But I let them know who I was, and I wasn't going anywhere. And that's why God sent me this very, very sick recovering addict. He sends me Dutch. And we went to Philadelphia. And in this room, when I walked in the room, there was a thump in my head. I know today that when I walked in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I finally shut the doors on hell for me. Yeah. fuck. And I worked this program. We took the program back to New Jersey. He took it to Ocean City. I took it to Atlantic City. And we worked very, very hard at this. And I was in sick relationships. 10 years I'm clean. And I finally go to a convention, and I'm the banquet speaker. And we went Friday night and Saturday. It was a woman's meeting. Don't go hang out with women, okay? Uh-uh. Men are more fun. And it wasn't because women were a threat to me, because any woman spoke to my man and says, hi, how you doing? See, because you don't touch mine, I'm not going to touch yours. I'll tear your tits off, and I'm not going to. There's no problem. No problem. Little girl on the floor, 18 years old, with 2 or 3 months clean, she's crying in this whole full of women because some man did her wrong. That little child had more honesty than a little finger I have in my entire being. I had to run out of there. I run up to my room, and I'm sitting on a bed, I'm rocking it, and my baby's room, oh my God, Blaze has lost it. And who was the woman that did the woman's meeting? We didn't know her name or nothing. Big hotel. Knock on the door, higher power. I heard someone say, anybody here got a match? It was her. They pulled her in, and she sat on the other side of me. And at that time, everybody in NA was scared to death of me. So I said to her, Doreen, this is my Doreen. And I said, you're scared of me, aren't you? So well, I got to be scared of you for it. Ah! I loved it. She's this big only. Yeah. And she said, I'm going to go downstairs and witness. Tonight, God is going to come into your life. I was having a spiritual awakening, but I was so hip, slick, and cool, I didn't know it. And that weekend, I asked her to be my sponsor. And I have an NA sponsor. In fact, I got the best NA sponsor in the world. This is one hell of a family we have.
That's right.
My sister over there talking now. And let me tell you, that's where I got my spirituality from, my Doreen. My Doreen puts her hand on her hip and starts one of these. And she says it's going to be all right. You can take that to the bank. Because it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, and this is a program of love. This is a program of love, not separation. Not separation. You know one thing? When people walk up on people that don't like each other, they are evil. Try this. Just try this. Walk up on somebody you don't like and be real nice and see the difference. They'll be nice back. Fake it until you have to make it. See, because that shit belongs out there with them, not in here with us. And I don't care how many times they come in and out of that door. You welcome them every time. How dare you? Who do you think you are? I don't know about you, but I lived in a glass house. There's nothing I didn't do. I'm going to put you down. Oh, come on. I can't go there. I have a higher power today. I have a higher power in my life that loves me and my babies and my family and my children. And my grandchildren have never seen me messed up. And sometimes they go to my speaking engagements, and baby girl calls my daughter on the phone and says, oh, mommy, I'm so glad grandma's my grandma. She's a movie star. Okay. And I love that. And I know how to love today. I know how to love today. Oh, I'm loyal. I'm standing up chick from the street. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And I can love you. And I'm going to tell you about a prayer I wrote 15 years ago. Because I thought I was going to die. And I didn't leave no words for my babies. And my words to you is, don't walk in my shoes. Please don't go where I've been or know what I know. You don't have to. You don't have to. You got NA sponsor. You got 24 principles and steps in your life. You can be anything you want to be. I go anywhere you want to go. I'm a lady today. And I'll hurt you if you say I'm not. I try. And I wrote this prayer, and it's called the Junkie Mother Prayer. And I have some with me. Please understand how much you mean to me. Please see what I see up here. I see past your eyes into your dreams. Make them dreams come true. Get out there. And when the world knocks you down, because they're going to do that, make sure you fall on your back. Because if you can look up, you can get up. all my clean babies in N.A. And if you're in N.A. and you're clean, you're mine. The junkie mother, that's me. Now through you, my dreams can come true. Remember my years, heavy with sorrow. Make of those years a torch for your tomorrow. Believe in yourself. Let none push you down. Look upward to the stars, for I will always be with you. To no one dare keep you down. The children of a junkie mother. I love you so much, ladies.
I'd like to thank Blaze for that powerful message. For our second speaker, we'll have Walston.
Hi, family.